Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this Maundy Thursday evening is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, beginning at verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. These other words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed, in his precious blood. I must tell you that I really wanted to put that moment far behind me and never remember it again. I didn't even want to drive the car another minute. I was on my way back to Emmanuel for my senior year in high school when my parents let me drive the family car, and then they both promptly fell asleep. I couldn't wait to get back to school to see my friends, and so I drove faster and faster than the speed limit. When the police officer pulled me over to give me the ticket, my parents woke up. I felt horrible, guilty. I wanted to forget. I wanted to put the whole episode out of my memory. And obviously, I've failed in that regard. I still remember it like it was yesterday. I sometimes wonder if it was partially their own guilt that moved the Jewish leaders to try to be so quickly rid of the body of Jesus. The Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross about 9 o'clock in the morning, and 6 hours later, about 3 in the afternoon, he died. The tremors of the earthquake that accompanied his death had hardly stopped when the Jewish leaders sent to Pontius Pilate asking that the bodies not remain on the cross, but that their legs be broken to speed their death. Now, the request was, of course, according to the law of Moses. If you read in your Bible in the Old Testament, the 21st chapter of Deuteronomy, you'll read these words. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death and he is put to death and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. Still, I wonder if for some of them it was a matter of getting rid of the evidence, being rid of the reminder of what they had done to Jesus of Nazareth. I wonder if some of them just wanted everything to go back to the way it was before Jesus even appeared on the scene. Whatever their motivation, our Heavenly Father used the circumstances to complete promises that he had made through the prophets more than 500 years beforehand. And so we consider this evening a wonder how, according to the scriptures, Jesus' bones were not broken. We will also this evening gather to receive his body and blood in miraculous fashion according to his own promise. May God strengthen our faith through these words. Amen. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. From our point of view, 6 p.m. on a Friday night isn't an hour that is particularly close to Saturday. For us, Saturday, which the Jews knew as the Sabbath day, begins at midnight. But for the Jews, the Sabbath began at sundown, about 6 p.m. Friday evening. They called it the preparation day, Friday that is. And since it was unlawful to work on Saturday, or the Sabbath day for the Jews, all of their preparations had to be made before 6 o'clock Friday night. All the cooking, all the cleaning, all the purchasing for the next day had to be done before 6 o'clock Friday night. It was the preparation day. Moreover, that particular Friday was important because it was the beginning of one of the most important Jewish festivals, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That Saturday began a week-long festival in which the Jews remembered how God delivered them from Egypt. Therefore, the Jewish leaders asked Pilate to have the legs of the three men on the cross broken, and their bodies, once they died, taken down. This wasn't out of the ordinary. The legs of crucified men were often broken. It was a cruel and brutal way of hastening death. If the shock of shattering femurs wasn't enough to kill an exhausted man, then the crucified man would simply suffocate under the weight of his own body. The Romans, who weren't the first to crucify, ordinarily left the bodies of criminals on the cross until they rotted or were eaten away by animals, unless relatives came forward and asked for bodies. But in Palestine, the Romans made an exception because of the Jewish law to avoid any offense. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. While they were also sent to break Jesus' legs along with those who were crucified with him, it was unnecessary in Jesus' case because he was already dead. In fact, the Gospel of Mark tells us that when they told Pontius Pilate, the governor, that Jesus was already dead, he was surprised. Death by crucifixion wasn't meant to be a quick execution. It would often drag on for days. But after just 6 hours, Christ was dead. Crucifixion is certainly a horrible way to die. And crucifixion was the cause of death for Jesus of Nazareth. But we remember that Jesus gave himself into death. You see, unlike in our case, death didn't take Jesus. Jesus took death. He was in control. He decided when it would happen. In fact, Jesus said beforehand, "My Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Only Jesus, the Son of God, could make a statement like that. Only Jesus had control, even when he seemed to be the victim. It's also evident that Jesus was in control the way that Jesus' death is described by the Apostle John. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It doesn't simply say anywhere he died. But in each case, Jesus is in control. He gave up his spirit. We understand that to mean that after he had completed all that was necessary to atone for our sins, to earn our salvation, he willingly laid down his perfect life. after he had himself lived a perfect life that God demands of us in his law, and after having died to pay for our sin and our mistakes, our guilt, Jesus then gave up his spirit, his soul, into the Father's hand. And since he was already dead, his legs were not broken. But I wonder if we understand how amazing this really is. Not just the external circumstances that the Roman soldiers who were sent to break his legs didn't do so. It was the fact that this was foretold hundreds of years beforehand by the prophets. Moreover, on the previous day, Jesus and his disciples celebrated that meal called the Passover, during which they ate roasted lamb and bitter herbs and unleavened bread, remembering how God had delivered their forefathers from slavery in Egypt. When the Jews celebrated this meal, they were to remember that very event, how God delivered them, you remember how? By means of the blood of the Passover lamb, which was painted on the doorposts and on the lintel of their doors. That's important to us because in the scriptures, Jesus is called our Passover. He's described as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Apostle John here describes for us, or tells us, that this happened for yet another reason. These things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. This isn't just color commentary. This is God keeping his word. So instead of breaking Jesus' legs, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear just to make sure that he was dead. And when he did so, the flow of blood and water proved that he was dead. But this too was done not as a happenstance, but in order to fulfill another promise that God had made through one of his prophets. For John says, and again another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And he has seen and has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. The Apostle John, who was moved by the Holy Spirit to write these words, saw it with his own eyes and recorded this eyewitness testimony. Jesus' body was not broken, but his blood was indeed shed. And these remarkable testimonies have been recorded so that you may believe, so that you can be sure that Jesus did, in fact, really die, and that to pay your sin debt. And these things, though seemingly unimportant, also serve to strengthen our faith in God's word. This evening, you will also take up in your hands unleavened bread and grape wine. And to people on the outside, the sacrament may seem truly unremarkable. And yet, Jesus said, in the words of institution, that he also gives to us his own body and blood in a miraculous way when we take bread and wine in hand. Jesus didn't have to do this. He didn't have to confirm our faith by giving us the words of institution and telling us, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. But he does. Jesus didn't have to promise you that you would also receive his body and blood along with this unleavened bread and grape wine. But he does. And he assures us that this is the truth. And in this way, Jesus lays his sacrifice for you before your eyes and makes it personal for each one of you. He confirms that he did all of this for you. And for me, he laid down his life, gave his body, and shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. Forgiven for all the times that we have sinned, in thought, in word, and in deed. Imagine that. Another miracle, a sign, a wonder, to strengthen our faith in Him and in His willing sacrifice for us. May God so strengthen your faith through it. Amen.